Glory to God. Let's go to our Bibles, if you're here. Thank you, Lord. I want to share about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, and we need to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. And the Bible talks about there's 9 ways in which the Holy Spirit will manifest Himself. Amen. And we want to talk about first the word of knowledge. Then we're going to talk about the word of wisdom and discerning of spirits. Those are 3 gifts we would like to cover a little bit. We're not going to cover a whole lot. We're going to mention these gifts. Amen? Everybody say the gifts of the Spirit.
Gifts of the Spirit.
You think they've been done away with?
No.
Get out. Let's get out. Just kidding. Everybody leaves. And the gifts of the Spirit are real. Amen. Nothing to play around with. They're here. And God will manifest Himself 9 ways. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's go put on, for everyone's sake, let's go put on 1 Corinthians chapter. When you got chapter 12, let's go read, starting from verse 7. And to 11, let's read all those scriptures together, and we want to look at what we call the gifts of the Spirit and read it from there all together on the, we're going to read the King James Version. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, but the manifestation, everyone say the manifestation.
The manifestation.
That means that's how God moves through His people. And He moved that way through Jesus. And we saw that. He moved that way through the prophets. He moved that way through the disciples. And just ordinary people. And He'll move that way again. He says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, we see capitalization of Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, when we have the manifestation of the Spirit, we're going to be better for it. It's a benefit. So the more we have the operations of this manifestation in our midst, the better we are. Thank God for counseling. Thank God for medicine, for medication. But there's also a spiritual way God can heal. And, you know, He'll do it by His Spirit, through His Spirit. So it's a profit withal. And verse 8 says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, we'll talk about that in a moment. But that word of wisdom always talks about future. God will talk about future things. We see that all through history, how God speaks through men and women, and it's always about what's going to happen next, what to come. And He says the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. In other words, these word of wisdom, word of knowledge are facts in the mind of God about what He knows. So word of knowledge is always present tense. Has nothing to do with the future. Has something to do with right now. It's about how you feel, what you're thinking, what your intentions are. When you have the manifestation, the word of knowledge, I'd be able to read your spirit, read your heart, your motive. And God can read your heart. And very often a pastor can preach that way on the pulpit. He can read the hearts of men, and God will say, you need to share this scripture because this is how people are feeling and this is the way, what's going on in people's lives, and you need to share this scripture. So while a preacher, like a pastor, is preaching on a Sunday morning, most people don't realize a lot of times the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. The vocal gifts, which is what we're talking about right now. So they're in operation as you're sitting there, all of a sudden he's preaching and he's got a sermon laid out there. He's not going to go word for word, but all of a sudden he veers off a little bit and he talks about certain things and he touches your life.
Amen.
And says something about your future or says something about your condition or what's going on in your life right now. That's what we call the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. And it's the same Spirit. Verse 9 says, for another faith by the same Spirit. Now it talks about faith in there, but he's not talking about just general faith. This is talking about supernatural faith. This is when you stop the mouths of lions. when you can beat up a giant if you're 4'7". Amen? That you can grab a lion, grab a bear by the jaw or head, and you stop him. That's the working of miracles. Or you can believe God, that money would come out of a fish. I mean, that's, Jesus paid his taxes that way one time with Peter. He says, go to the fish and open up its mouth and there'll be a coin in there. Pay my taxes and yours at the same time. I'd like if somebody would do that for me this year. Amen. Go fishing. We do have a fisherman here somewhere and he brings me fish every week. Last week he failed to bring me fish. He brought me partridge. So I didn't want any partridge. So I need some fish. Is there any fishermen here? One guy there. We'll talk to you later after service. So another faith. So this is called extra faith. This is supernatural faith. This is called, the Bible calls it, the Amplified says special. What is it called again? The special faith. Yeah. This is not the fruit of the Spirit faith. Right. It's not faithfulness. It's not talking about faithfulness. This is not talking about the faith that you got saved with. This is a different kind of faith. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, God, it's amazing that God can give you faith in your heart to believe him. And yet all you have to do is accept Jesus and all of a sudden you can believe. God gives you that faith. It says that he gives faith to believe him. Furnishes the word, furnishes everything, and you believe him. I was just a man, 24 years old. I was 4 years older than you, Pastor Kent. In 1987, my wife and I got married, and the man here, this drummer, he got born into this world. Yeah, Pastor Steve was born on the day I got married to my wife right here. I got married to her. Stand up. This is my wife, my bride. She, God brought her here from Finland for me. And she's a wonderful lady. And she has got lots of fans in Finland right now. My daughter is actually a TikTok kind of crazy lady, but she has, I don't know, she interviewed her Mumu, and she's got hundreds of thousands of people following her from Finland. They're saying, hey, I found out you're my cousin. So you might have cousins over there. And you're going to visit this year coming, right? So anyway, my wife and I was married, and at the same time, this man was born into the world. So Craig and Glenda, where are you? They're somewhere around there, somewhere working, I guess. They're actually operating on somebody right now, and they got this man, brought him to the world. Here he is, right there. Craig, give him a hand. This guy here, he brought this baby boy to pastor here. And so he's watching over him right now. Look at him. So anyway, yeah, he's watching you. And they're horrible fans. They're Boston Bruin fans. So anyway. And so anyway, while we're getting married and this guy is getting born into the world, this guy got born again, Ken Semeschuk. 1987, May 87, and that's when my wife and I got engaged. So while we're getting engaged, he's getting born again. So the Lord brought that team together, 1987. Isn't that a good year? That's the same year Team Canada beat the Russians in the 7 gay parade. Well, any facts, 1987. And that's the same year I bought my brand new Firebird, praise God, which the Lord got me to give it away. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, faith by the same Spirit, a special faith. This is not just ordinary faith. It's a gift. And to another, gifts of healing. In fact, I believe the original is gifts of healings, the original language. So there's more than one gift of healing. So there's all kinds of gifts that heal different kinds of illnesses. You'll see that in the Bible. Certain people, they can minister to certain people with a certain way. Some people just heal tumors and cancers. Another person will just heal the cripple people, like with back problems and leg problems. They just heal that. That's a gift. Some people can just heal different things, and that's the way it is with these gifts. Not everybody has every gift. You know, that's a thought. Now you think about this. If you want to dispute it, don't talk to me about it. Okay, so it says gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Everybody say same Spirit. So he's doing all this behind there through a man. And then verse 10, it says to another working of miracles. You know, miracles is the operation of God, you know, affecting the natural flow of life when things are going in a certain way. And, you know, and God can change the operation of a certain situation and he can intervene in a natural flow of things. If somebody has cancer and they're dying and you're going to die in 6 months, God could intervene in that situation with a working a miracle. Amen. And that person will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. So that's a working a miracle. You know, cutting the Red Sea in half. That's a working a miracle. That's a huge miracle. You know, spreading, you know, even the Jordan River was cut off there for a while and people walked through there. And so the prophet took his cloak, his outer jacket, and he hit the water and it spread this way and that way. So the prophet actually, remember Prophet Elijah? Well, he ran after eating some angel cake or something, I think. He ran and he outran the fastest chariots of Egypt. Or was it Egypt? Yeah, I guess it was Egypt. Or somewhere, some kingdom, I forget now. But anyways, he outran chariots. How would you like to have that? You'd win a lot of medals today. You know, that's a big thing. So prophecy, you know, prophetically. We're going to talk a little bit about prophecy in a moment. But prophecy, you know, there's different kinds of prophecy. Prophecy is that you can predict the future. I wish I had that right now. Right? Prophecy is predicting the future, but there's a simple gift of prophecy. What the Bible chose us, a simple gift of prophecy. Everybody in here can prophesy. Everybody. Not a single person is not unable to do it. Everyone is able, but the gift of prophecy that has extra in it, revelation in it, like understanding and seeing things in the spirit, seeing demonic forces, seeing a heart of man, seeing what's going to happen next, seeing the future. This is an extra prophecy. So, you know, that's a different gifting, different level of gifting. Not just prophets prophesy, but anyone this can operate into a person's life. Some people have this gift operate on their lives as part of their equipment for ministry, like a prophet or an apostle. Apostolically, you know what an apostle is? The word apostle means sent one. In other words, he's on assignment to do something. Now, you got to take this with a grain of salt and lots of sugar. I was called to start a faith church in this city. I was started to be a messenger of the faith message in this city. You ask all the churches in this city. You ask all the pastors, who's the faith guy? They tell you it's me. Roma, you're the one that's in all the pastors we meet. They said, you're the guy that shows us how to do this. Establish churches. Establish a TV ministry here. That's foundational. That's apostolic work. You know, it's funny. My wife was, we were talking about something the other day. She said to me, I said, you know, it's kind of funny. You know, we were talking about things. We're listening to Brother Hagin talk about the word of knowledge, you know, discerning of spirits and, you know, the prophetic utterances and stuff. I said, it's funny. You know, I went to, in the early 80s, a friend of mine who was a really good guy participating in the Full Gospel Businessman. Anybody remember the Full Gospel Businessman? And they'd have meetings once a month and they'd invite a speaker. And so that day they invited a speaker from the Huntley Street. Y'all know Huntley Street. And they brought somebody there. He interviewed people. And so he's speaking Friday night, Saturday morning, I guess, and they have a meal on Saturday night, and they send him out. So he said, come with me Saturday morning to a meal over at the French Prince Arthur Hotel, the landing room. That's the landing room, some kind of, I can't even remember that room was, the anchor room, I think it was. It's gone now. So we went there for a meal, breakfast, and we sat down, all the men sitting there, and the man of God was there from the Huntley Street. And he said, they said, you go ahead and pray. So the man of God began to pray for the meal and give thanks. After he prayed for the meal and gave thanks, he pointed to me, young man, and he gave me an utterance. And he knew my heart. And he knew what was going on in my life. He began to speak out to me. I look at my friend, how does he know all this? Did you tell him all that? Well, he knew different things. He read my mind. He read my spirit. He knew what was going on in my life. He knew exactly what's happening in my life. He knew what I was about to do. Why didn't he stop me? And I thought maybe my friend told him what was going on in my life and maybe he's setting me up for something. But no, he didn't. He didn't. That's a word of knowledge. He didn't tell me what to do or what was going to happen. He just said what was happening in my life. So he gave me a word of knowledge. And he didn't tell me the condition of my heart. He didn't tell me how I was feeling. But he just let me know. And I looked back at it. What happened was this gift was letting me know that God was with me. God knew about me. God knows you. That's the message I got from him. God knows you. We didn't analyze it. I didn't analyze it with anybody. Didn't go out and ask anybody and pray to a 24-hour prayer line. Hey, I got a prophecy. Can you read it for me? Well, no. It's given to me. And so I had another occasion where I went to a conference. There was hundreds of pastors. And they had a special speaker from Dallas. And we had prayer in the morning. And we, hundreds of us would come to prayer meeting in the morning. So we'd get there and pray. And he, after all that was done, and he points out to me over hundreds of pastors. He said, hey, yeah, this man right there, this young man right here, you, who you? Me? Yeah, you talking to me? Yeah, I'm talking to you. He said, I see healings in your ministry. I see you've been thinking about ministry and healings. I see this. I see healing over here. I see healing over here. And you're a healer. Because at that time, I was really doing the healing ministry and doing a lot of stuff with the ministry of healing. And so he said to me about this stuff and spoke some things in my life. So I said, well, how does he know all that? Well, it's gifts of spirit. Now, he didn't give me direction. He didn't say, you need to do this. You need to buy a car and you need to get plane tickets and you need to go here and do this. He didn't say all that. He went ahead and said that. But well, why did he do that? Well, the Lord was giving me comfort that he knew what I was thinking about. He knew what I was doing. I was at a meeting the first time I ever met Peter Youngren. I don't know if you know Peter Youngren. I was invited to a meeting one night and I walked in there and I was with, I don't know if I was with you, Anita, or not. But he spoke to me, and he said, you're a minister, and you just begin to speak. I said, well, how does he know all that? Well, God knows what you're doing. Amen? And on and on, and I can tell you time and time again how God comforted me and showed me I was on the right track. In 2008, or just before that, 2008, I think it was, the fall conference. I'm sitting there, front row, and the man of God, John Power, who's now with the Lord, he spoke to me, he said, listen, this was in 2008, I believe it is, we have it on television, we have it on there. He says to me, I see you on television. I see you going across Canada. And God said, I need a teacher, and you're it. And people are going to walk up to you in this city, And you have said in your heart, well, I don't like being on TV. I don't want my face on the billboards, and I don't want my face here. I don't want my face on this. But God says, I'm going to put that on there. And people are going to see you, and they're going to say, hey, I didn't know you on television. I'm going to ask my wife this. Everywhere I go in the city, people continue to tell me, hey, I saw you on television last night. I saw you on television this morning. What was that about? Well, that's the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, word of knowledge in operation in my life, time and time again, time again. And I think, you know, in the last days, the Bible says in the last days, God said, I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Joel chapter 2, Acts chapter 2 says that. Because people are wondering what was going on when the Spirit of God fell in that place, in the upper room, and they started speaking with tongues, and everybody, there was many people gathered there from many nations, and God did something wonderful, and those people who were Jewish people, they started speaking in tongues and speaking different languages of those people who gathered from different various nations and heard them speak in tongues, and they understood them. It was real languages to those people there. And they heard fully what God was saying. It was a wonderful work of God. We need a manifestation of the Spirit. And I was reading Wigglesworth's prophecy of the last days and Brother Hagin's prophecy in 1987 about the last days. We've seen, he said, the move of God in these last days. We've seen the, you know, sprinkling of the Spirit, of the gifts of the Spirit. But in these last days, God's going to turn up the gifts of the Spirit. And you're going to have more manifestation than ever before. 100% turned up the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, the power of gifts to be in operation. I'll read the prophecy to you later. You'll see more and more of that. But when I was at Rhema, Brother Hagin taught us, he said, if you don't teach on this stuff, a whole generation will lose a move of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to hear the Word. We need to hear that this is possible. And if you speak on these things, about the gifts of the Spirit, we were on last, verse 10, I think. To another working of miracles, to another prophets, to another discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits is when it's not just seeing devils, although that's part of it. Discerning of spirits that you can see an angel. If God would open your eyes, you'd see the angels everywhere in here. You'd see your angel. I'd see your angel. I'd see your angel. I would see other angels. I'd see ministering angels. I would see a little angels, big angels, small angels. I'd see all kinds of angels. Amen. They're here. Angels are here. Angels are here. Yeah. Is this boring for you or what? Everybody's... I'm not sure if I'm in the right church or not. I thought maybe he left me for a reason. But I'm telling you this because this is important, because we are going to see something. If we don't believe it, you might not see it. Because there's people in the Bible that says, I don't believe that. They never saw it. They said, you're going to die before you see it. Amen. But people said, I believe it. And they saw it. Yeah. So, discerning of spirits is seeing in the realm of the Spirit. God could open your eyes and you could see Jesus right there. And I could be ministering there. I could see Jesus with me right there talking to me while I'm talking to you. My spirit's talking to Jesus. We're having a conversation, but I'm ministering to you at the same time. That's a discerning spirit. You won't see me talking to Jesus, but my spirit and Jesus talking together would be talking, and I'd be here ministering to you. You wouldn't even see that. That happened. And most people read the four Gospels like that. They don't see anything. They don't see anything. Their eyes are closed. They can't see the gifts of the Spirit in those, you know, like I usually talk about the sixth chapter of the book of John, where Jesus walking and he came up to a man who was crippled there all his life for, I think it was 38 years. He came up to him and he ministered with working of miracles, gifts of faith, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, this man and gifts of healing. And he ministered to man who never walked for 38 years in a moment of time. In a, you know, clap your, snap your finger. He's walking in a moment of time. Well, you can't walk if you never walk all your life in a moment of time. You'd have to have a miracle. If you got healed, you'd have to have new muscles. You'd need some 10W-30 in those between those knees, or something, right? So you would need that. So it's working on miracles. Jesus ministered to that man. In the third chapter, book of Acts, you see the same thing where the man was there begging every day. They walked by there every day. Those guys, Peter and John, walked by every day. Same thing. See the same man there, but the one day was different because they all of a sudden had the power gift in operation. A demonstration of the power of God. And they were able to minister to that man. He said, I don't have money. The man was bumming for money. I like to see that. I always go to Tim Hortons and I see people bumming all the time. Silver and gold. Timmy's cards I do not have. But such as I have unto thee. Be free from your addiction. And all of a sudden, the nice haircut and everything. That'd be nice, wouldn't it be? You know, we need to hear about this. Yeah. So I don't know. I see it. I mean, you know, I like to be nice on Sunday morning. I like to teach a nice sermon. But today it's a little different, isn't it? I'm just talking to you. The Lord said talk to you about the gifts of the Spirit. I do have a sermon there. I never followed one of it yet. I'm showing you something. Amen. The Lord said, you go ahead and minister this way. So I'm being led by the Holy Spirit right now. Amen. So he says, go ahead. Discerning of spirits, that's seeing in the realm of spirit. You can see angels. You can see Jesus. You can see the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was helping someone the other day. They're traveling through the town. This young couple who is walking for, murdered and missing indigenous women. And they asked us for help. We helped them, their cause. So they call me again. They're coming back. They walk all the way to Newfoundland. They walk on top of the water even. No, so they went right out to the coast, and they come back. And they're happy to see me, especially with the business card I have. Anyway, they said to me, I want to ask you, how do you, if you saw the Holy Spirit, how would the Holy Spirit look? Well, at the first, nobody comes to ask me that. You know, like it's just a question, like you wouldn't even think about it. I said, well, you know, sometimes he comes in a, you know, of course they saw him as a dove. He came as a dove there. Fire, you know. He came as a wind, a mighty wind. And then, rushing waters. And a lot of times a cloud would come in, you know. And that's the Spirit of God in the manifestation. You could see that in the realm of spirit. If you could see in the realm of spirit, you would see the cloud of God in here right now. You would see angels right now. But they're here. And you know for a fact, he said, I'm Jehovah, you know, Shammah, the ever-present God. He's here. He's not only upon us, but he's also in us as well, right? He's here. So you'd be able to see that. So, discerning spirits, also, you could know the intention of someone's heart. You can read the heart of man. And Jesus, a lot of times, read that. He read people's mail and knows exactly. He said, you're this, you're that. You tell people right away because that's a discerning spirit. That's not a discerning of being critical. You know, some people say, I got a discernment. And they start criticizing everybody. And start judging everybody. That's not what it is. Right? So this is a different spirit. This different anointing. So diverse kinds of tongues. This is an ability to speak in tongues in ministry, not just speaking to yourself. There's a different gift of speaking to God. The Bible says anyone that speaks in tongues speaks unto God. I wish that you all speak with tongues, he said. But this is a dispensation of the Holy Spirit that anyone can have this gift. Not diverse kind of tongues. But you can have this manifestation, a prayer language to God. They say when you pray in this tongue, you pray the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, 27, 28 says that when you pray in tongues, you pray in harmony. In groanings, amen. Groanings is a word, it means inarticulate speech. That means it's inarticulate to you or anybody else, but unto God you're speaking mysteries. When you speak in tongues and you pray the will of God. If you don't know how to pray with God, if you go to your prayer every day, ask God for the same thing, you can't be in faith. Because you ask God something one time, and next time after that, you might talk to him about it and say, Lord, why is it taking so long, you know, or whatever. You say, I'm just tired here, Lord. You can help me hang on here. But you should be able to continually thank God for what you ask God for. So thanking God for a long time can happen when you ask God for something back over here for a couple of years. And you stand and you keep thanking God for what you asked for a few years ago. You don't ask him again. Well, the Bible says, well, keep knocking, you know, knocking, knocking, shall be get into. He's talking about intercession. Right? So diverse kind of tongues to another interpretation of tongues. Well, I don't have those tongues. I don't have an interpretation of tongues. I do sometime. I can interpret my own tongue. Last time when I was in Rhema, the Lord said to me, I want you to pray every night. And I would go for walking, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. I'd go walking and pray in tongues every night. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, saying to me, when you go home, I want you to change the name of your church that you're ministering at. I want you to change your church name will be called Faith City Church. And that would be a brand new start for you. So it's a brand new start. A new anointing. A new way of operation. And he said, in the way you used to minister, don't minister like that anymore. Which is, I minister with a tangible anointing, and we would just minister with a tangible anointing and pray for people until they spin and cry and yell and bang off the walls. And I used to like that. I like to bang a few walls right now. Okay, so verse 11. This is the last one. But all these worketh that one in the self-same spirit divided to every man severally as he will. In other words, these gifts work as God wills them. We can't say, well, you know what? You guys need working miracles. I think I'll work that right now. You can't fake that. They're classified. We call them 9 manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. We call them gifts of the Spirit. But they're really not gifts of the Spirit. They're not all gifts of the Spirit. Some of them are called operations. Some of them are called administrations. And some of them are called gifts. In the Bible. But all of them are called manifestation. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everybody. And we don't all have the same gift. We have different kinds of gifts. So my kind of gift right now, I need to learn how to stop. That's the kind of gift I need right now. It's 5:02 and I haven't even got to my sermon yet. But this is a good message. Amen. Right? Do you like that message? Do you like that message? It's good, yeah. See, I check with her all the time. The rest of you guys are crazy except her. You know, she knows something. I told a story many, many times where she would pray in the Holy Spirit. She would pray. She got into, intercession. That's her area. So she said, Pastor, I'm going to pray for you. I said, okay. So she would pray for me. I said, one time I said, no, don't pray for me. I don't want you to pray for me. She said, oh, no, I will pray for you. God told me, you know. So I got kind of scared because I thought maybe she might want to prophesy something to me. But she never did. She never abused it. She didn't say, Pastor, this is what you got to do. But all those years, she's been praying for me. Faithful. And I appreciate that. You're a wonderful woman of God. And every time I have a hard place, I would, you know. I told you some things about this woman years ago. We first started the ministry. I didn't have anything. We had no money. We had no backing. We had no organization telling us to do it. The Lord told us to do it, start the church, leave our ministry, leave our careers. In the middle of our lives, my wife and I left our careers after going through all this schooling. The Lord said to me, go into ministry. How many of you went through all your life and did something and left it and went into ministry? That's a hard thing to do. It was very hard. It was scary hard. I needed courage. I needed encouragement, please. and so if you ever get jealous of me, and let me tell you something, you need to go back to my what happened to my life back there. And God told me, I said, Lord, they don't want me in this city. I said, the rest of the pastors don't want me. I know because I hear them. They don't want. They say I'm a Kenneth Hagin, I'm a Copelandite. And they're saying things about me. They're saying you're the blabbit and grabbit person, and you're all this stuff. And I'm in the meetings, and the people tell me. And I understand this, and you better understand it too. The brother Hagin said this: when the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in a strong way in your life, and He shows you something, it's for a reason. Because He knows there's going to be tough days ahead. So I had time and time again had the gifts of the Spirit manifest in my life where God showed me I'm on the right track. And then there was a time, you see it in the book of Acts, verse 20, there was a time in my life where I felt even the people that I went to in my church didn't want me. They wanted Kevin Ashby. They didn't want me, but they wanted Kevin. They loved Kevin more than they loved me. I knew that. And people were saying things about me that I dismantled a church when he dismantled it. It wasn't my church. Why walk away from it if it's yours? If God called you, why don't you stay? But the Lord had to deal with me. And I took flack over the years, time and time again. Different struggles I've had. No money, people don't want to help you. They don't believe in you. You know, it's hard when someone don't believe in you when God calls you. I'm glad God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of them. I'm calling you. And he says, I'm afraid of them, Lord. And especially if you don't have anything. And people would tell me different things that preachers said, you're not like a Kenneth Copeland. You're not a Copeland. That would hurt me. After I preach a message, give all my life, and they say it's different things like that. So I went through these kind of things. And so what am I telling you? I'm telling you this. I'm showing you something. That these gifts of the Spirit helped me. When I was discouraged, the Lord said to me, I showed you back there. I called you. And I told you time and time again. And I told people this, if I didn't know better that God called me. When I went to Rhema, Brother Hagin said this, this is the one thing you have to know. Did God call you? Where did he call you? What did he say to do? And I remember I would even cry about different things. The Lord said, did I call you? I said, yeah. Then you better be quiet about it and act like I called you and start smiling about it. And so if I didn't have the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life, I would have never been a pastor. Never. I would have went back a long time ago, went back to the, did my own thing and did that. Because it's not easy. You ask anybody, try to start a business. How you would feel. And the devil would tell me, oh, you have a business where you just have to depend on people for money. You know, he would just try every way to discourage me. And today, even now, right now, he's still trying to discourage me, trying to get me out of the ministry, trying to get me away from preaching the message and getting to the place where God wants me to be. Amen. And God's been good to me. Amen. And the gifts of the Spirit are going to manifest himself in a greater measure in these last days, in a greater way. I've seen it happen. The Lord spoke to me many times in different things and said to me some things I shouldn't say, but I will say some things. I don't want you to hold me to it because it's not your timing, it's not my timing, but there is a timing in God, you know. But people need to see the outpouring of the Spirit. And I know sometimes people are against it. You know, well, we don't want this, we want that. You know, well, no, we don't have no say in it. God wants to do something.
Right.
You know, when he moves, then we got a lot of explaining to do. We said, why did that guy fall? Well, I don't know why he fall. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was preaching one day here. My dad was back there. Not here in this church, but another church I'm preaching. My dad, he died when he was 82. He said to me, son, while you're preaching this morning, I saw a light over you. And I saw a bird over you. And it was hung there for a while. He says to me, what does that mean? You know, a lot of times you don't like to talk to people. For me, anyway, I don't like to just... Because people have all kinds of stuff to tell you, crazy things. But I trust my dad. He never went around and published a book on it, and he never said testify on it, but he just told me, I want to let you know what I saw. And thank God for that. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand up. I shared a little bit about my testimony, a little bit about this and that, and the fact that in the last days, we're going to see a move of the Spirit. We want to see it. We want to see God move in special operations. Praise God, right, boys? We're going to see an operation of God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we want to thank you right now for the gifts of the Spirit in operation in our lives, in our personal lives, the gifts that will encourage us. Maybe we'll get a special word from someone. Someone will tell us something and show us you're on the right track. You're in the right place. What I said to you back then, I want to confirm again. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And God will help you when you're discouraged and send something to you. Send you a messenger. Send a little old lady at your house. I give you $500. Do something like that to help you. And God will tell you some things that you thought you'd never be able to do in your natural self. But there you are. You're doing something, not on your own, but by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You're doing it. You thought you'd never do it. You thought you'd never could do it. But all of a sudden, you're in the new realm with a new spirit, a new might on you with the gifts of the Spirit. You said, I can do this now. I can do this now. I can believe this. I can do that. Well, God will move in a spectacular way to help you and minister to you and show you that there's far more to your Christianity than you've experienced. Discouragement will flee away. Confusion will go. Peace will come in. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory for what you're doing in our lives today. Bring us together. There's some of you right now that feel like you want to speak in other tongues. You just go ahead and let it out right now. Just pray nicely on the inside of you. Just go ahead and pray in the Spirit, bubbling up on the inside of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those that are being filled with your Holy Spirit right now, we praise you in the name of Jesus.